Sermon, the title of my offertory is We Can Only Succeed Together. Do we sometimes face problems or health limitations and think that we cannot solve them on our own? Have we ever lost boldness, hope, or faith? Have we ever thought that we can solve a certain situation on our own while forgetting God? And then tried to solve the problems alone or relied on our strength, the knowledge we have acquired in the world, and on our wrong conclusions? We are certainly not alone in this, but we know that it is not the right way either. In 1 Samuel 23, David was also in a situation that he was unable to resolve on his own. Of course, he needed God's help, just like we always need God's help today. But in this situation, he needed help from his friend Jonathan. At that time, David was hiding in the wilderness of Ziph from Saul, who wanted to kill him. We read the following incident in 1 Samuel 23, verses 16 to 17, in the German Hope for All translation. 1 Samuel 23, verses 16 to 17. Jonathan came to him. He encouraged David not to give up, but instead to trust in God's help. "Do not be afraid," he said to him. "My father will not find you. One day you will be king over Israel." Even David needed his friend Jonathan to be encouraged. We also need our brothers and sisters today to be encouraged when we have doubts at times or when we forget to involve God for a while. Sometimes our faith is simply not enough in certain situations. Or even worse, we have a general lack of faith. However, this makes it difficult for others to help us. Because without faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ, all attempts to help are in vain. David had that faith, as we know from many biblical passages. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, in the New King James Version, it says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." We can therefore recognize that we cannot and will not make it into the kingdom of God on our own without God. The occasion that we celebrate here at the Feast of Tabernacles, among other things. First and foremost, we need God in our lives. But then, as far as it is possible and the circumstances allow, we also need our brothers and sisters with whom we will live in eternity in the family of God. Today, we keep the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles all together as a family. Here, in the physical realm, we can help each other through prayers, encouragement, and mercy, and through understanding. This is the way we can help and support each other. But how can we individually support God thereby lay the foundation for being blessed by Him? One way to do this is, of course, through our tithes, which we regularly give Him from our income. These serve to enable the Church of God to fulfill its mission of proclaiming the gospel as a witness. In addition, however, He also commands us to give offerings on each of His holy feast days. We should do this just as joyfully as we encourage and pray for our brothers and sisters. By doing so, we participate in the most important work in these days. The church is thereby enabled to fulfill the mission God has given it. And in doing so, we are all, each of us individually, working together with God on his work. God is a family, and a family sticks together. Those of us who are baptized and have God's Holy Spirit within us are begotten members of God's family. Both those whom God will call in the future, as well as the children among us who will be baptized in the future, will then also belong to this family. And then we will all belong together. We should all have the same goal and the deepest desire that we will make it into his kingdom. We can only succeed together, except when God calls us individually and far away from our brothers and sisters. This applies both to our relationship with each individual brother or sister, but even more so to our relationship with God. Let us now apply these discussed aspects to our responsibility, which we also have. We are obliged to give offerings, but we should do so not only out of duty, but with joy, because we know why we are doing it, and because we love God and want his will to be fulfilled soon. Let us already turn to Philippians 3. We know that it is not fundamentally wrong for someone to be rich. Nevertheless, our focus should be on something other than accumulating wealth in this world. Rather, we should be concerned about accumulating wealth in heaven. And there are various ways and possibilities to do this. Our prayers, our cooperation in the work, our tithes, but also our offerings. It is good if we are well here on earth, but all this here is transitory, and soon it will all lose its value for us. Let us now look at what Paul tells us about where we ultimately belong. In Philippians 3, verses 20 to 21, where it says in the New King James Version. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. We belong to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the family of God, and we are all committed to this family together. Everything we do for each other and for God, we do it for the family of God. I think this underlines the idea of togetherness very clearly once again. As for the situation in which Jonathan encouraged David to trust in God's help, I would now also like to encourage us all to trust in God's help. God will ensure that his work is carried out according to his will. But he will also help us with our problems and difficulties if we keep his commandments and live according to his word. This includes attending his holy assemblies, as well as the offerings and other conditions he places on us. But if we comply with these and care for one another and look after one another, then he is faithful and merciful and will not forsake us. But our faith must be strong and grow steadily. By overcoming whatever we have to overcome, be it a lack of faith or the false assumption that we could make it alone and without our brothers and sisters if we have access to the church, or even worse, without God, then we will be God's children. For he wants to reveal the riches of his glory in us if we are merciful and ultimately lead us to glory. Our way is not the way of the world. We don't fight against each other or against other people. No, we do everything together. Let us turn to Psalm 44 and read there how we can do it differently, can do it in a better way. This leaves us with the tenor of this offertory. And this is deeply rooted in fellowship with one another and especially towards God. His great work is also our purpose in life. We are obliged to be faithful and sacrificial towards him. But if we do this with joy, it will ultimately be the greatest blessing we could ever imagine. In Psalm 44, verses 6 to 8, in the NIV, tells us the following. And this prayer of the Korahites can be perfectly applied to those who do not want to have fellowship with us and who try to prevent us from doing God's work. Psalm 44, verses 6 to 8. I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God, we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. Selah. We also praise God by helping each other, by praying for one another, and by overcoming our sinful nature and especially this world. By coming out of this world more and more and submitting ourselves to God, we will become more and more holy. And the contact and the interaction with our brothers and sisters helps us to come out of this world. We are given this great opportunity, and how wonderful it is to make use of it. God is kind towards those who wait for him, and he loves the hearts that seek him. And it is good to be silent and wait for him to intervene, to direct things in his time. He will do so if only we have confidence in him. And as long as we understand that we are one community, one family, we should put aside all disputes and forgive each other our transgressions. But it is just as important that we sincerely repent of them. Reconciliation must take place so that we do not succumb to Satan's cunning plots. For he wants to destroy our fellowship with one another and towards God. He wants us to fail. But God has revealed to us another, a better way. By the first coming of Jesus Christ and through the teachings he had from the Father, he revealed his truth to us. He founded the Church of God, a community and not a collection of individualists. Jesus wants us to help one another, and that is exactly what he taught. The beautiful thing about God is that you can start to change every day anew. He donates us countless opportunities to apply the knowledge he grants us. And with that, this year again, this Feast of Tabernacles that now lies ahead of us, a wonderful opportunity to promote community anew. We are able to meet new people who join to us, deepen existing friendships, discard false judgments about others in order to get to know them anew and better. A time of fellowship now lies ahead of us, Let's utilize it and let us make this feast the best feast we have ever attended. Finally, let us take a look at Malachi 3 and let's live truthfully and righteously in fellowship towards God. Here God says clearly to his people in Malachi 3 verses 8 to 9 in the New King James Version. Malachi 3 verses 8 to 9. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. We do not want to betray God about the offering. We want to give it with joy and live in fellowship towards God in accordance with his truth.